Morning, church. Happy Resurrection Sunday.
Amen.
Amen. It's an easy topic to share. Happens to be the Resurrection Sunday, so the message is going to be on resurrection, which is easy, right? All right. So before, turn with me. You should have your Bible, everybody. If you don't have, there should be one in the front seat underneath the chair. So have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 16. Turn to Mark chapter 16. So we're going to look through the events as they happened 2,000 years ago on that historic day where we see Jesus rising from the dead. And that changed the course of mankind from then onwards. All right? So the goal for today, we're going to look through the events. And what does resurrection mean to us? So those are the two things we'll focus. And before we go, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Thank you for this time you gave us, Lord. Another opportunity you gave us to come into your presence and just worship you, Lord, with all of our heart. And you deserve all of our worship and praise. You are the Creator. And you came down, you died for us, and you rose again the third day. And we have victory in you, Father, and help us, Father, to walk victorious in this life. And as we go through your word, I pray that you open our hearts and minds, and I pray that your Holy Spirit be our teacher and guide and show us from the scriptures what you have for us in store. And we look forward to what you're going to speak through us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, Mark chapter 16. So the first few verses, we see the woman at the tomb, all right? So the first verse, Mark chapter 16, verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. So at this point, the women that they are going to the tomb are not sure that Jesus is going to rise. They are expecting to give a proper burial to Jesus Christ because the burial was done in haste when Jesus died on the cross, and the next day happens to be the Sabbath day, so you can't work on Sabbath day, and this happens to be the day after Sabbath, which is the first day of the week and what we call Sunday. Okay, so they went there to offer spices to Jesus' body, that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, happens to be Sunday, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said unto themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? So these are women who just want to do something for Christ, and they have no idea how they're going to do it, because they know from the disciples and the stories that were told over the past 2 days that Jesus was kept in a tomb and it was guarded by Roman soldiers. They had this huge stone. I believe it's about 1,000 tons of stone rolled to close the tomb. And three women walk in the early morning expecting and asking themselves the question, who's going to roll the tomb? Who's going to roll the stone away from the tomb? And verse 4, and when they looked, so they are coming close to the tomb, and when they look, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. There's good news for them now. It's easy for them to anoint and offer spices to Jesus' body, right? And verse 5, and entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were afraid. And if you put together all four Gospels, you'll see another Gospel mentioning two angels. So it's not a contradiction, it's just more information from the other Gospel. I think you have looked at that many times. And here we see the angel came and he rolled the stone. Question. I love Bible studies. I want, you know, interactive, but it's a preaching. I am not a preacher. And for those who have come for the first time, I'm just a stand-in. There's our pastor. You should come listen to him, all right? So I'm going to teach. So I'm going to ask questions and I'll be the one answering. You don't have to answer. So why did angels roll the stone? Hint. It's not for Jesus to come out. All right, we have this picture. Angels came, they rolled the stone, and Jesus comes out walking into the... No. Because you'll see in few more verses, in few more minutes, I'll show you, these disciples are scared to death. The Roman guards are after them, the high priest is after them. Anytime, anywhere they see these disciples, they are ready to kill them. All right, so they are in hiding, they are in a closed room, they lock their doors, and they're all afraid. And Jesus walks into the door. All the doors were closed. The walls are all stone. Jesus walks in. So he doesn't need open doors or open tomb. You get that?
Yes.
So why did the angels roll the stone?
So people could
see inside. It is for the woman to see that there is no Jesus inside. All right? You get that? So it is not for Jesus to come out of the door, tomb. We good?
Yeah.
All right. So it is for the woman to see that there is nobody in the tomb. Verse 6. And he saith unto them, now the angel has some message for them, right? Be not afraid. And they are like, what happened to my Jesus? Somebody stole the body. And if you see the other scriptures, if you put together all the gospels, Mary Magdalene runs screaming to disciples saying, somebody stole the body. We don't see Jesus' body anymore. And here the angel says, be not afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. There is the greatest news that a mankind has ever heard. And it's still the same power in that message. Jesus is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. And the first commission that the angels give to the woman is to go evangelize. So who gets that privilege? Out of everybody, out of all the disciples that followed Jesus, the woman get that privilege to share that great news. And in verse 7, they say, but go your way, tell the disciples and Peter. Isn't Peter one of the disciples? Yes, right? But if you know the story of what happened a few days ago, Peter is in a terrible state. I mean, he is an awesome guy. If there is one disciple you can say who is courageous, who would that be? Peter. Jesus was walking on the water, and Peter goes, hey, Jesus, how did you do that? Can I come in? And he steps in, looking at Jesus, and he is the only one who walked on water other than Jesus. All the other disciples were still, I can do this. I'm going to stay here. This is comfortable. But the only one who left the boat was Peter. If you look at any other disciples, he is the one who is the most courageous. He is the kind of guy, if you look at the commentaries, he is the kind of guy who is ready, fire, and then aim. That's who Peter is. Somebody got that?
Yes.
Ready, fire, aim. All right. So that's who Peter is. And then when Jesus himself, because we're going to look in Jesus, before he went to the cross, he did tell the disciples and the whole world, telling that he is going to die, and 3 days later he is going to rise again. That is recorded in Mark chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things. So this is Jesus preaching. So we're in Mark chapter 16, right? This is Mark chapter 8. That's 8 chapters before. All right? I mean, many months before. That's what I meant. And be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed. So Jesus is not killed yet. He's just in his ministry. He's teaching the crowd. He's teaching the disciples. And he already told them that he is going to be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. And he spake that saying openly. And if you know the next few verses, if you read the next few verses, Peter goes and says, who's going to kill Jesus? I am not going to let that happen. That's who Peter was. And Jesus had to rebuke him, right? Get thee behind me, Satan. That's where you get that. So he is the kind of guy, and you all know the story, right? What happened? Peter denied Jesus 3 times. The Lord and his Savior, his Master, that he followed for 3 full years, trusting and putting all his trust. He left his fisherman, he left his career and followed Jesus, and then he denied Jesus 3 times. And he saw Jesus dying on the cross. And put yourself in his shoe. And right before Jesus went to the cross, he did say, he looked at Peter's eyes and said, you are going to deny 3 times before the cock crows. And for I think minutes would have been ages for Peter on Saturday and Sunday. All right? You feel that? You feel that for Peter? I mean, you do so many good things and you mess up on one thing, the whole world is pointing. And there is poor Peter. Everything that he did just washes away with those 3 denials. When I say Peter, the first thing that comes is, yeah, he denied Peter, Jesus 3 times. I can't believe. And how many times that we do? When I say David, he is one of the greatest king ever reigned, the nation of Israel. But the one thing that we remember is, he's an adulterer and a murderer. See, sin, it is so serious that everything that we do, with that one moment, we lose all of our testimony. And as a Christian, how serious we should take sin and not fall into that trap, because that's how people will remember us, that one mistake. And there is Peter. And especially, angel has a message for disciples and Peter. So think about our own strength. Like, Peter thought he is the most courageous, and that became his pitfall. And what are you thinking you are strong at? That could be your pitfall if it's not for Jesus. And your trust on Jesus himself can do that. All right? That he goeth before you into Galilee, you shall see him as he said unto you. And verse 8, and they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they were trembled and were amazed. In the other gospels, you'll see they were afraid and filled with joy. They had these two together. They were afraid because they saw an angel. And biblical angels, you don't want to see them. I mean, we have this picture of angels like those cute little, you know, wings. No. If you read through the scripture, one angel just walks by a camp with 180,000 soldiers, kills them all. 2 angels completely destroys the whole city while Lot was letting out. These angels, you don't want to mess around with them. And when they see them, they are scared to death. And they are still frightened. They heard the news, and they were still frightened when they are going out, right? And they were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. They haven't seen Jesus yet. So keep that in mind. This is just the news from the angel. They haven't seen Jesus. And here we see that they heard that Jesus is risen, but they still are not sure. They still think somebody stole a body. I mean, this is before Jesus himself said that I'm going to suffer, I'm going to be killed, and 3 days later, I'm going to rise again. That is how bent human heart is. We don't get it. Verse 9, until, hold that thought, because until they see risen Christ, all right? So I'm jumping ahead. Verse 9. Now when Jesus was risen, early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. So I'm going to just, we'll stay in Mark, but I'm going to just put together his appearances from all four Gospels together. Okay, not all are recorded and they are not sequential, but the first one who gets to see risen Jesus is Mary Magdalene. And who is she? She is the one who had seven devils, and Jesus went and cast them out of her, right? And she gets to witness the risen Jesus. And verse 10, and she went and told them that had been with him. So who are they? The disciples. Who had been with Jesus? The disciples, right? And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that Mary saw Jesus, they were excited, jumping with joy, and they completely knew exactly what Jesus told? Absolutely not. Read verse 11. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had seen and had been seen of her, believed not. Imagine a woman coming to you and telling that she saw something, and you are right up at her face saying, nope, I can't be. I mean, I don't know. I mean, if I were a disciple, I would be doing the same thing because of the circumstances that I was in for those 3 days. It is one of the traumatic events that these disciples went through. And their own betrayed Jesus. Because we see only 11, right? There should be 12. One is gone. One is dead. He hung himself because of what he did. He realized that he killed the Messiah. But he's gone. Now there are 11 left. But those 11 are still stressed out. And even when Mary Magdalene saw risen Jesus and went and told them, they believed her not. And if you put together other Gospels, he does appear to the other two women the second time. And then in verse 12, after that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked. These are the road to Emmaus, right? We call them Emmaus disciples. That's all recorded in Matthew's Gospel. So he appears to these two guys. They walk for 7 miles, and Jesus explains everything from the Old Testament. How Messiah has to come, suffer, he's going to die, and 3 days later he's going to rise again. And then eventually they open their eyes when Jesus broke the bed, and here Jesus suddenly disappears from them. And now they have seen the risen Christ. And now they can't shut their mouth. They ran to the disciples. Just as Mary did, now they run to disciples. Watch in verse 13. And when they went and told it unto the residue, that is unto the disciples, neither believed they them. So first it was Mary Magdalene who saw risen Jesus. They didn't believe that Jesus is risen. Now these two guys who walked for 7 miles, heard everything from the risen Christ, and they go and say, hey, you know what? Guess what happened? Jesus is alive. And by the way, there's already news that the tomb was empty. Put together all these, right? It makes sense. Jesus is risen. But they believed them not. And verse 14. And after he appeared unto 11, as they sat at meat. So if you put together other scriptures again, other gospel, he appears to Peter first before he appears to the 11. So there's Jesus still loving Peter no matter his denial. Amen. And 3 times he asks Peter, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? So no matter what stage I am in, the cross and the blood of Christ can wash away all my sins. Amen. And if you think the one of the most biggest sin that Peter committed is denying Christ, and there's Jesus offering forgiveness and asking him, hey, Peter, do you love me? And he took time to appear to Peter first, knowing that what he's going through is not easy. So he knows our hearts, right? He knows what we go through. And he is with Peter, comforting him. And he met first, and then he appears to 11 disciples. And again, first he appears to 10 disciples, and one's missing. Who's that?
Thomas
was missing in the room. And then a week later, he appears to the 11. So now they are going with the 11 now. So whenever you see 11, it's a term that the disciples got. Like before Jesus died, it was the 12. All right? Now it's the 11, but it's sometimes one was missing, sometimes everybody was there. So first time when Jesus appeared to the disciples, 10 were there in the room and they believed. And what do they do? They go and tell that one disciple who is who is missing in the room, right? Thomas. And they go running. Now, Mary Magdalene told, the two people from the Emmaus Road told, and 10 other disciples told that Jesus is risen. And what does Thomas say?
No.
Yeah, we all know the story, right? And that is one more thing. Peter, denial. Thomas, he wants to put his finger in the broken, in the pierced hands. That's how Thomas is recognized every time we think of Thomas. Unfortunate. So there is Thomas again saying, nope, I don't believe you guys. And 2,000 years later, it's the same message you and I have. Jesus is risen. And there are still people out there saying, nope, I don't believe. Unfortunate. And then one more. He appears to 500 people at once. It's recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is John MacArthur. I was looking for quotes on resurrection. There's so many. I had to pick one. And I just picked it this morning, so it's not on the screen. So I'm going to read it, so follow it. This is John MacArthur about the resurrection. The truth of resurrection gives life to every other area of gospel truth. So everything that the gospel was taught until then, resurrection gives life to those words. The resurrection is the pivot on which all Christianity turns, and without which none of the other truths would much matter. Remember Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15? He says, if it is not for resurrection, or if Jesus did not rise from the dead, we are all a bunch of miserable people with no hope, no faith, and we are just, yeah, coming, trying to do good, making our way, but nothing's going to happen to you. But that is not true. And he's saying, without resurrection, Christianity, which would be so much wishful thinking, yeah, one day we'll go to heaven, right? It's just become wishful thinking, taking its place alongside all other human philosophy and religious speculation. If you take any other religion, I was listening to Warren Worsby the other day, and he said he was in the airport, and there was this excited guy who came, and he was trying to share, promote a religion, and he gave him a book. And the first question he asked the young man is, was the founder of the religion dead or alive? He says, oh, he's gone a long time ago. And then the first thing Warren Worsby said is, I have nothing to do with this guy. But we have a founder who's gave everything and he is alive. So this word should come alive every time we read. Any other books, any other religion, any other philosophy you take, the founder is dead and the tomb is not empty. You can dig up his bones. And they're all, what did he say? Wishful thinking. Hopefully they'll make it. There is no strong foundation. But the foundation that Jesus laid is made, is authenticated by resurrection. Amen? So we serve a risen Christ. So, all right, in 15, 20 minutes, this is everything that happened on that day. All right, I mean, there's more. Again, Jesus was there for 40 days on earth before he was ascended, right? So on that day, on that Sunday, these are pretty much the events that happened, appearing to Mary, the disciples, right, and two other disciples on the road to Emmaus. And finally, he did appear to the 11, where Thomas is also there. And that's where we get one of the strongest verses, or one of my favorite verses, right? John chapter 20, verse 9. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. So there you are in this room. I haven't seen risen Christ, but I know he's risen. I know he's alive. I know his spirit lives inside me. And Jesus gave these comforting words for all those who are here, who haven't physically saw risen Christ. Like these people, they are blessed to see risen Christ. Only a handful out of the entire Jewish nation saw risen Jesus. And they were so blessed. But Jesus is saying, we are even more blessed than they who saw Jesus and believed. But you and I, who did not see Jesus, and yet we believe. That's our comfort. That's our promise, right? All right. So what does it mean to experience or to, in our lives, practically, let's make it, what does resurrection mean to us? So I'm going to give you two things. The power of resurrection. So first one, power of resurrection offers us salvation and the hope of eternal life. Power of resurrection offers us salvation and hope of eternal life. And the second one, power of resurrection empowers us to face tomorrow. We know that famous song, right? Mm-hmm. What is it?
Because he lives.
Because he lives. I can face tomorrow. That's where I got my point. Right? I mean, I could say I could live today, but that made more sense. Yeah, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. So I stole it from there and said, empowers us to face tomorrow. I mean, obviously today, you know what I mean. Right? All right, I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures. The first one, power of resurrection offers us salvation and the hope of eternal life. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Most of us are familiar. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. So God the Father raised who? Jesus from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. So for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with mouth confession is made unto salvation. One more verse. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to scriptures, and he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So the essence of the whole gospel, or the essence of Christianity, if I have to condense and say, hey, take this Bible, summarize it in three verses or two verses, there it is, that Jesus died according to the scriptures. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again according to the scriptures. So when I say according to the scriptures, or when Bible says according to the scriptures, it's referring to the prophecies from the Old Testament. I love prophecies. I mean, that's what makes this Bible even more real, right? Everything that was predicted hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, by prophets, by men who had faith in God, and put that together for us, and Jesus comes and fulfills every word that was spoken. Right? Isaiah prophesied Jesus is going to be crucified. And Jesus himself referred, just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, I will be there. And there he is pointing out that 3 days later he is going to rise again. And Jonah's story was thousands of years before Jesus even stepped in, right? So these are all the prophecies that God came and fulfilled. And that gives us comfort that one day, I'm jumping ahead, but one day he's going to come back. And when he said he's going to come back, it is going to happen. Is it going to be today? Is it going to be 1 month? I don't know. I mean, yeah, those people with all the dates and all, I don't know how and where they get those things. It's just, yeah. Jesus is going to come, but you don't know when he's going to come, right? And the only ones who should be scared of is for those who haven't put their trust. Oh, I'm jumping ahead. Let me go there, all right? So the resurrection, we see he rose again the third day, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. Jesus is Son of God, right? He in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is Son of God from eternity. And resurrection, it just declared that Jesus is Son of God. He is Son of God from eternity past. He is Son of God now. Resurrection just declared that he is the Son of God. Where in verse B again? He said, the dead Savior cannot save anyone. A dead Savior, he cannot save anyone. He's dead. He's lying on the ground. But Jesus is alive, so it gives him power to save you. Romans chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. So for those who put their trust in Christ, you and I are made righteous in the sight of a holy God. His righteousness, that is Christ's righteousness, is now imputed on us. Look at these verses. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. This is talking about Abraham, how he had faith, and how his faith accounted him for righteousness. Right? So it was imputed to him, but for us also. Who are us? Let's look at it. To whom it shall be imputed, that is, righteousness shall be imputed when? If we believe on him, that is Jesus, that raised up Jesus from our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Big words. Jesus did not die for his own offenses. Apostle Paul said he became sin who? Knew no sin. He didn't die for his sins. He died for my offenses. And he was raised again for our justification. So because Jesus rose, I am now justified. A sinful man justified in front of a holy living God. That is me. Because the reason is, I believed on him that raised up Jesus from the Lord. So for a believer, there is no judgment or condemnation. Because who justified me? Jesus himself justified me. So for a believer, we know there is no judgment. And Romans chapter 8, most of us are familiar, right? For there is therefore no condemnation for those who put their trust in Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who is going to point their finger and say, yep, he did wrong? Or who is going to point finger at Peter and say, he denied? No one. Why? Because Jesus himself said, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Nobody. Why? Because it says, it is God that justifieth. It is not me. It is not pastor. It is not any organization or church that says, oh yeah, you're good. Nope. It is God. Jesus himself comes and says, Pradeep is righteous or Pradeep is justified. Not because of what I've done. Because of what Jesus has done, right? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? Nobody. Even the devil, nobody. Nothing can condemn us. It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercessions for us. There is the next point for you. So he makes us right. He justifies us. And now he is sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. So that's where we get this phrase. Because he lives and he is interceding, I can face tomorrow. There will be new challenges when I wake up. There will be tough news when I wake up in the morning. But you know what? Because he lives, I can face those challenges. And he will make a way out of those. and it seems like it's days that we are going through, and He is with us. He is walking along us during that time. Just as He comforted Peter when he was down, He is going to comfort us. All right. And for those, and because Jesus has risen, He commands all men to repent. This is in Acts chapter 17, verse 30 to 31. And the times of this ignorance God winked at. I mean, one of those interesting verses in the Bible. The times of this ignorance, that is, till Messiah came, till the price was paid on the cross, right? Ignorance God winked at. But again, how was the people in the Old Testament saved? By faith in whatever God has revealed at that moment, because they didn't have Jesus to believe in. David doesn't know Jesus because he's born way years after, right? But it was faith in God the Father at that moment that saved them. So it is still faith. It's not God of the Old Testament or God of the New Testament. It's still the same God. God winked at, and it follows. The next verse is, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Because Jesus is risen, He has the authority. He is given the authority by the Father. Now He commands all men everywhere to repent. It is not a choice, it is a commandment. And verse 31, because He hath appointed a day. There it is. Why? If we don't repent, this is going to happen, because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man, who? By Jesus, whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men. What is the assurance? That if we believe in Him, we shall fall under no condemnation. But if we don't, then what happens? We are now falling under His judgment. You get that? So which side do you want to be? Whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead. So Jesus is going to judge the world. And the resurrection of Jesus tells that Jesus, the judgment is coming. Today He is our Savior. If you don't make that choice, He is going to be your judge. Oh yeah. And this time it's not going to be the lamb who is going to lead with the shearers to the slaughter. This time He's going to come as a lion. And He's going to come with a rod of iron. And judgment is going to come for all those who does not bow their knee on this side. So while I have breath, I should bow my knee before the King. Because one day or the other you will. If you don't bow it now, we know from Philippians chapter 2 verse 10. We all know that verse, right? Philippians 2:10. Again, I'm making it Bible study. I should. All right, it's a preaching. All right, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. This is not just talking about Christians. Everyone who ever lived on this planet Earth should bow of the things in heaven, the things in earth, and things under the earth. Even creation bows to Christ. And creation is waiting for the redemption, right? We know from Romans. So not just human, the whole creation worships Christ, and they will bow their knee. It better be on this side now. And that every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. All right, let's go to the second one. The power of resurrection empowers us to face tomorrow. Or it gives us the power to live. Yes, I can't wait to see Jesus one day. I had these moments where when I was young, I was a babe in Christ, there was these tough exams that I did not study. And as a poor me, right? I was praying, I was crying out, Lord, come Lord Jesus. I'm praying biblically, right? Revelation chapter 20, the last verse of the Bible, what does it say? come, Lord Jesus, this is the moment. I can't take that. Please. Why not? Right? Jesus can come anytime. Me foolish, right? But Jesus is going to come. But he gave us the privilege to live Christ on this earth. And that is what Galatians chapter 2, Apostle Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I live. I'm not waiting for Jesus to come and take me, like, Jesus, get me out of here. I prayed those prayers. Trust me, I will. There will be situations in life that we all want to get out. But Jesus says, I am with you. Yes, I will take you home one day, but I'll be with you while you're going through that. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life now which I now live in flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There's my motivation to serve Christ, right? Because he loved me, these things that are happening, these circumstances that I am in, God will get through. God will help me get through. It is not like, yeah, go close, like the disciples, right? They were scared. That happens when we don't meet the risen Christ. But when you met a risen Christ, we'll see the life of disciples. I'll close with this, all right? Warren Worsby pointed out these four stages that the disciples went through. So from the story that we just read, right? The first stage, he said, the disciples thought Jesus was dead, right? And they were all locked up behind the doors. So this is before they saw risen Christ, right? So they were all locked up. They were in fear. The second stage, they heard reports that Jesus was alive. Remember? Mary said, the two disciples said, and poor Thomas, even the 10 disciples told him, believed Thomas, and they didn't. So the second step was, they heard the reports that Jesus was alive, they still did not have faith. But the ones who saw, they were jumping with joy, right? Have you ever had these experiences where you're in church and you see, or we go out witnessing, Linda, right? She goes out and she just, hey, Jesus loves you, and she passes on the tracks, and no matter what is happening in the back, there is that joy when you see Linda, right? Because she has seen and experienced risen Christ. And that should be our life every day. Circumstances should not define who we are. The risen Christ and the life that I now live, I live by flesh. Again, I'm preaching, but it's really for me every day. I should remember these. It's easy to preach, hard to follow. So this is not for you. This is for me as I'm speaking, right? So I should remember that when I see somebody on fire, I want to be like them. I want to experience. I want to have that resurrection power in me and do those things that Linda does so boldly, right? And the third step is finally they met him personally. And then what happened? We see Mary just fell to his feet and worshiped him. Before, Mary was running like a chicken whose head was chopped off, running, hey, somebody stole the body. And now she sees risen Jesus and she clung on to him. And Jesus had to say, hey, woman, please leave me. I got other things to do. And she is clinging on to Jesus. And the disciples, right? Thomas, I mean, we say Thomas, right? The doubting Thomas. You know what Thomas did? After he saw risen Christ, he traveled oceans, he moved countries, and finally he ended up in India. He preached the gospel to Indians who never, ever heard about God the Father or Jesus, anyone. And he was there walking through the streets of India, and eventually he was stabbed to death. I went to the place. I had my visa interview, so I went there, and my visa got rejected the first time. And I'm like, okay, all right, at least there's something good. Let's go see where Jesus or Thomas' tomb is. So I go there. They say it's Thomas' tomb, you know, right? But they have the picture there with somebody stabbing Thomas from the back because he was preaching Christ. And who knows, because of Thomas, the gospel was in India, and I could be the product of him. Right? So it gave Thomas the boldness. We know Thomas as doubting Thomas, but you know what happened after he saw risen Christ? He went and shared to the people who never would have thought to go share the gospel. So here I am in my comfort zone and thinking of my neighbor. Oh, maybe he's not going to invite me for barbecue if I go tell him Jesus. Maybe my friendship will not be that strong because I'm pointing him to Jesus. And there I am, not completely experiencing the power of resurrection. Because if we truly meet the risen Christ, again, I'm not saying you are going to see Jesus, all right? No light, nothing. Word of God, if I believe with all my heart, you are saved, right? So if I believe in Jesus and experience the power of resurrection, I should be getting out and telling the world that Jesus is risen, right? Finally, stage four, they told the world that Jesus is risen. And the same Peter that denied Jesus three times, Acts chapter 5, verse 29 to 30, it says, "Then Peter and other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" This is high priests and Romans. They were forcing Peter to shut his mouth. If you stop telling about Jesus, can you just stop telling about Jesus? The whole city is talking about Jesus because of you guys. So shut your mouth. And this is what Jesus say, this is what Peter says, right? "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on the tree." He's talking to the high priest, saying, "You guys slew Jesus and you hung on the tree." Again, who killed Jesus? God the Father allowed Jesus to kill, nobody else. You know that, right? All right. This is just Peter saying, "You guys slew Jesus and hanged him on the cross. And when daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Christ." So, question for you all. Have you experienced the risen Christ? We all know the story. I know the story. I grew up in Sunday school. I can tell you the story at 5 in the morning, what happened. But that means nothing to me if I don't truly experience the power of resurrection and live my life so Christ lives through me, and that I'll be able to shine the light of Christ to others. So with that, let's... 5 minutes early. This is the first time, Ricard. This is the first time I ever finished my sermon early. Pastor, would you mind closing in prayer?